It is always good to join together with others as we worship God, and always good also when we join and have our voices to blend together as they've been doing. You sing very well, and I want to commend you for that. We have some excellent song leaders here as well, not just Todd, but several others here, and we're very blessed to have good song leaders here. I'm not a good song leader. I'm what you call the bottom of the barrel, get in when nobody else is there to lead singing, and guaranteed not to be asked back to lead singing again. That's the kind of song leader I am. Haven't always been that way, but that's just not my ability right now. And I want us to talk to us tonight about our abilities. What kinds of things are we going to be doing for the Lord, and what kinds of things are we doing for ourselves to bring ourselves up to the level of spirituality that we should be at? When we think about our talents, sometimes we think about, well, what kind of talent do you have? Can you stack cups in a fast way? Can you lead singing? Can you juggle or some other type of talent that you may have? Carl and I this afternoon, we along with several others from church were over at the big auditorium, and we saw a lot of talented kids as they were up on stage at the show choir, and lots of talent that was being showcased there on that stage. I could not do some of the things that they were doing. I won't tell you which things I couldn't do, but I can't do all the things that they were doing. They're kids. They're elastic. You know, they can fall and bounce right back up. If I tried some of that stuff, I would fall. It would take me a while to get back up on my feet. But each of us has our own abilities. Each of us has something that we can do, and sometimes that's the best that we can do is sometimes better than everybody else. And so we're going to look at that tonight, and we're going to see what it is that helps us to encourage us to do what we think we can do, what God thinks that we can do. Have you ever had somebody just to tell you, we know that you can do it? That pat on the back. That time where somebody comes up to you, maybe it's like these young boys, and they do such a good job. Barry and the others do such a good job of organizing them to come up. And I hope that you spend the time after services to go up to these young gentlemen and let them know what a good job that they've done. You know, a good pat on the back, a good attaboy and an encouragement or a word of encouragement before they can get up and do what they do here Sunday night might mean the world of difference in the way that they view serving the Lord. But when we think about this, we know you can do it. It's great to hear that. It's great to hear somebody have confidence in you to say, we know you can do it. Take, for example, now I wasn't the best basketball player. As a matter of fact, I played two seasons in Little League, and we were 1-23 out of two seasons. I'll get into that in another lesson, but anyway, my dad was the coach. He was a tender-hearted guy, great baseball player, but, you know, me included, he got some of the worst baseball players that we recruited for that team. But anyway, I can remember going up to bat, and I can remember thinking all these negative thoughts that get in your head. You know, I've already struck out twice. What am I thinking about when I go up again? Don't strike out. Don't strike out. Don't strike out. What do? I'm thinking the negative, and I follow through on the negative, and I strike out again. But if somebody's there behind you, we know you can do it. We know you can get a hit. We know you can do this. That encouragement helps you to find the talent, the skill, the ability that you have to go on and do what you ought to be doing. Now, also, I want us to understand that God has faith in us. Now, you may not always understand that, but God has faith in us, sometimes to the level where we don't have faith in ourselves. And I think we're off the screen here because my clicker's not working right now. Let's see. No, that didn't work. So you pull that up. Maybe I've hit the wrong button here. Okay. I'm just going to put this off to the side, and he's going to keep up with me here in a minute. All right. So as we look at what God expects of us, I want you to know that God has more faith in us than we have in ourselves. Now, if you can advance just to the next slide over, just one more slide, but be careful how fast you go. I want to ask you, have you ever considered how to move a 17,000-pound barn? Now, some of you have some barns. I haven't seen all your barns. I've seen some of them. But here's a story about a man, Herman Ostry. Now, this is a real-life story. You can go on the Internet, and you can watch a video about this. It's an amazing story. He has this barn. It was built in 1920, and it was in an area that was prone to flooding. Now, all day yesterday, while it was raining, Carl and I kept getting all these alerts on our phones saying, beware of flash flooding. And we've driven around, and there's some areas, you know, that flash flood. Well, this barn would always flood. So here's what happened. He didn't have the money to have a professional company to come in and move this barn. So he just invited 350 of his closest friends. And they have this rigging. You can tell by the side here, a little bit here on this bottom picture, there are some riggings that are on the side of the barn where two men can stand side by side, and they got a metal pole in front of them. And 350 people surrounded that barn, and on the count of three, they all went heave, and the barn came up over off of its foundation. They moved that barn 115 feet south and 6 feet higher, and they each only had to lift 55 pounds to do it. Now, that's teamwork. That's something you don't hear of every day. That's why I like this illustration, because when we think about what is the Lord's body, it is many members that make up one body. You remember that. You remember Ephesians 4 talking about the different abilities that we have, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because Paul says that the body of Christ is just like our body, and sometimes we need to understand what part of the body am I? Am I an eye or an ear, a hand or a foot? Sometimes there's jealousy among the members, but God has placed each one of us into the body just as he pleased to bring about the furtherance of the body so the body can operate and function as it should. Now, here's a good example of people pulling together to accomplish a goal. Now, I saw this a couple of weeks ago, as you were getting ready the final push here for the backpack and the community service day. And as all of the materials were being gathered, and we saw this all up on the stage, and then later on there was a great work day where all this was stuffed into the backpacks, and then that Saturday came, and everybody had a job to do. And that went almost flawlessly. I'm sure there were some problems, but I didn't see them. But everybody had a job to do. Everybody had something to contribute. And as a result of that, we had hundreds of people to come through our facility, and hundreds of students now have something that they know comes from us. They know that we care. And that didn't happen just because one person said, let's do it. That happened because we all pulled together and we all filled some task. Mike Davidson back here, he was manning that big grill. I want to tell you something. That's a talented man to cook all those hamburgers like that. And I want to tell you something else. I didn't get one. They ran out. You know, my wife ate maybe the last one. I'm not sure, but she told me it was good. But I didn't get one. I just sat there and ate part of a cookie, not even a whole cookie. Poor, poor me. But listen, that's a talented man. That's a hard job. I saw Don Williams and several others out there with the car wash, and I saw these kids and also some of their parents and grandparents out there helping. That's a difficult job. I saw people also doing the registration. Now, not everybody can do every job. But just think with me for a moment. What a great event that was. How many people came through here? They all know that Florence Boulevard, that this church cares for them. And whatever you did to contribute, even if you just bought a couple of reams of paper and brought it up here, you were part of it. You did something according to your ability. And every bit helps. Every bit helps. All right, now I've got control again. I feel in charge. I've got control of the thing. Thank you, man. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Let's take a look at this. The master's directions. Now, you know this parable very well, but I want us to talk about how we fit in and what all we can be doing, because not all of us have the same talent. So let's begin here and just read all the way through down to verse 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. Now, a talent is a great sum of money. Some have said it's like 6,000 denarii. You see up here, and that's no small amount. You know, denarii might be, you know, like one day's wage might be equated to that. So he gave them to one, and immediately he went on his journey after he gave his money to these people. Now, to the one who had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with him and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had 2 received, he gained 2 others as well. But the one who had received the 1 talent, he went and dug in the ground, and there he hid his Lord's money. Now, we get caught up sometimes on the word talent. We say, well, I don't have any talent. You know, I can't keep a hula hoop going. I can't, stack cups. I can't do it. All right, look, we're confusing in that sense the talent, which is the amount of money, which is what was given there. But notice here the same lesson can be applied. These 3 men, they received an amount of money that was commensurate with their ability to handle that money. Now, it's the same as me. If I called Evan up here and I said, Evan, I want you to take care of some of my money, I'm not going to give him $1,000. You know, don't get me wrong. I don't have $1,000 on me right now. But I wouldn't give him $1,000. I might give him a dollar or a couple of quarters because that's more commensurate with what he's used to handling. Then somebody else comes up, and if I've got to have them handle my money, I might say, let me endorse this check. If you take this to the bank, that's more commensurate with their ability because now I trust them. They've handled with those types of things. So when we think about talent or ability, we also need to think in terms of how it was applied here in the story as the sum of money. Now, how do you know if a person can handle a certain sum of money or not? Well, how do any of us know what we could do? It's trial and error. It's learning from others who teach us. It's applying what we've learned to our own situations. By a show of hands here, how many people have ever bounced a check or been in a household where a check has bounced? Let me see your hands. More honesty than that. Bounce a check or have, okay, listen. If you've ever bounced a check, you know, well, it's like, why did that happen? When my wife and I first married, I forget who had the checkbook first. It was probably me. And then we got to a point where I bounced a check because we're both writing checks out of the same account and I didn't keep up with it. And so then we'd have a little, let's see, what's the right word? Discussion. Yes, that's the word. Discussion about it. And so then she would take over the checkbook. And then a couple of months later, one of those checks would bounce and then we'd have another discussion. Then I'd take it over back and forth, right? Listen, we learn. When we're first managing a household, we learn these things. We don't know all the answers up front. We learn, and our ability grows over time. Same as a Christian. When we're first putting on Christ, when we come out of this watery grave, and we start to wear Christ into our neighborhood, into our school, around our friends, we don't know everything then that we're going to know eventually, but we start to grow in the things that we know. We start to grow to the point where we are also learning and now also teaching others and imparting knowledge as well as taking it in. We might grow to the point where we know about the inner workings of worship to where we know these things. And we become someone who's excelled in that area. Let's go on with our reading now because we left off there in verse 19. So let's pick up with verse 20. So now he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, and look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Now, let me just advance these slides to catch up a little bit. Each servant's receiving something. No one was left out. We often think of the 1 talent man as being somebody who's lesser. Well, he's lesser only in the amount that was entrusted to him, but it was still a tremendous amount of money that was being entrusted to this man. And sometimes we might, degrade our own position to say, well, I'm only a 1 talent man. Well, be careful how you use that terminology, because that was a great honor being bestowed upon the man. And let's not pigeonhole ourselves as the man here who ran away from the responsibility. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that at all. Each was given something according to his own ability. So the 5-talent man, also the 2-talent man now, they both received the same from the Lord. Let's look at verse 22. He who had also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents, and look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Well, isn't that wonderful? Well done. Well done. I'm 53 years old. I still like hearing somebody say, good job or well done or whatever it is that I'm working on. I like to look back and see a job that I've completed. Maybe it's around the house or something else that I'm doing and know that that was a job well done. We all are encouraged by hearing these things. And to know that our Lord can say this to us when we've met the challenge before us. The Lord is going to have faith in us that I believe is going to exceed our own faith in ourselves. He has faith in us that we can do things if only we will trust Him and step out in faith to do those things. Many people that we know in our lives don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know God as you and I know God. And you and I may be the only vehicles by which they might open their mind to an understanding of God. What is it that God wants from me? I'm not able, some people might say, well, I'm not able to go off to Africa or somewhere, or I'm not very good at writing on the Bible correspondence courses with World Bible School, which, by the way, let me tell you, it's a wonderful program. If you're not involved in it, I think you ought to be involved in it. It is straightforward. You will learn a lot when you do this. And when you interact with those students as they write their answers and questions, you will dig to find the answers to help them find Jesus Christ. So when we think we can't do something, let's not sell ourselves short. Let's remember that the Lord has faith in us and that each one of us has the ability to do some things. Some of these people that we work with, that we're neighbors with, they look to us and they see they have a great deal of respect for us, and they may not know God or Jesus. How is it that God can use us to open those doors so that they can know? Doesn't mean that you have to go over with an open Bible in your hand. Sometimes what it means is that you can go and be their friend no matter what, that you can show them by your actions and by your love what it means to be a Christian, and that when the right time comes, then you can take advantage of that opportunity and you can draw them closer to the cross and you can be that person. You don't have to conduct the Bible study. Some people are afraid to invite their friends because they said, Brother Mike, I don't know how to do a Bible study. That's okay. Lots of us do. You bring your friends. You introduce them to the worship. You introduce them to the concept of us being a family for God, and we can also help them to the next steps. Well done. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for this to be told to us. And notice this also. If we're found faithful over smaller things, then we'll be granted rule over greater things. There are lots of things that we accomplish throughout our lifetime. Many of our younger kids now are back in school. I hate to mention it again, but that's a fact of life. So you're back in school. And all the things that you learned in the previous year, well, that's just assume that you know it now. So all the accomplishments that you had, you start all over again, and now a new teacher comes into the room, and she says, now I'm going to teach you even more things. And so now you trudge, and you work, and you work all through those things, and then at the end of this next school year, you're going to feel a great sense of accomplishment having learned all those things, and then guess what happens the next year? A new teacher comes in, and she says, that's great that you know that. I'm assuming that you know all that, and now we're going to go even higher. We're going to learn even more. Well, when we learn to accomplish things for Christ, we begin to see even more opportunities to serve Christ that appear in front of us. Several of you are serving as deacons in this church, and we appreciate your service so much. I mean, the different areas that you're over and your faithfulness and focusing on those areas, and those areas that you weren't chosen for those areas because you'd never done anything. Because when I look over into Timothy and Titus and I see those characteristics for men to serve as elders and deacons, and I'm seeing that people ought to be proven. Those deacons ought to be proven, meaning that they've already stepped out in some areas and proven themselves to be effective and hardworking and trustworthy, and now they've been granted even more responsibility. You see the great things that God has in store for us? Hearing that word, that phrase, well done, and also knowing that more opportunities are coming our way. Well, we can't get away without talking about this one talent man. So let's start talking now. And this is beginning in verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now, that's a pretty lame excuse for him coming back. Pretty lame. What did he do? Well, he said he feared the master because he knew his expectations. Well, that's a pretty lame excuse to say, I'm sorry. I knew that you were going to be very demanding, so I just decided not to do anything at all. Rather than try to go out and do what you knew I could do, I decided to do the absolute least that I could possibly do. But I haven't lost anything that you gave me. I just haven't provided anything more. Well, what was he? He was lazy. He didn't even try. He did not even try. Todd, if we come in one night and you can't sing and you say, hey, I got a last minute, I've got to have somebody to lead singing, will you do it? If you ask me, Todd, I will do it. I'm not saying people will come back to next service, but I will do it. I will stand up and I will lead singing. Okay? I've been conditioned with this now. If I'm asked to do something for the Lord, I'm going to try my level best of doing it because I want to do what I can for the Lord. And who knows what opportunities are going to open up. When somebody's going to open a door and say, I need your help here, and that may lead to something where you discover a hidden talent within you, an ability that you have to communicate with others or to do something to draw them to Christ that's uniquely yours. And you'll never know until you take advantage of those opportunities. Don't be like this one talent man. Don't be down on yourself thinking, I don't think I can do it. When the Lord says, go and do these things, and when he trusts us to do them, who do you think is going to do them? You don't have to do all of them, but you need to step up to do the things that are in front of us. So what was going on? Maybe he was jealous. Maybe he was because he didn't have as much as the others. I don't really think that's the reason. I think he was just lazy. I think he looked at things and he said, you know, I just don't think that this is for me. Notice what else is going on here. He didn't lose anything that was given to him. It was all there. You know, there are times that we think in terms of just not losing instead of gaining. With a sports team, it might be the phrase, playing not to lose, not playing to win. Do you know what I mean? When you got a lead, but you're not really playing like you did to get the lead, you're just playing to not lose. And I've rarely seen a team that's successful in that because what happens is when they start losing their focus on winning and thinking about not losing anything, what they do is they forget how to win. They forget how to gain. They forget how to do the things that brought them to that point. I've seen it over and over with churches. Churches were once vibrant, reaching out into the communities, reaching out into the relationships at work and the neighborhoods, bringing people into Christ and teaching them about the gospel, teaching them through their lives and through their actions as well as their words. And then at some point, they forgot about growing the kingdom and they started focusing on not losing who we've got. And when they started that process of not losing who we've got, they didn't have a mechanism to grow it again. They just began focusing on not losing what they've got. Listen, that's a one-talent man mentality. Now, I'm all for looking to people. I don't want to lose anybody, but I still want to focus on what God says for us to do. Notice what this is. This is a difference in omission versus commission. You might commit a crime, you know, because you've gone out, you broke into somebody's car, you committed a crime, but the omission would be you failed to send in your taxes. Well, that's a sin, too. That's breaking a law, too. But that's a sin of omission. You just didn't do anything, as opposed to going and taking something forcibly from someone else. What does the Lord say now? He says, I was afraid. That's what the man said. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Now, that's a lot different than well done, good and faithful servant. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received my own back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from the man, this man, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's go on for a couple of these. This man was stripped of even that which he had. Now, again, a talent is no small sum of money. If I could come to you and give you 10 years worth of wages and say, listen, I want you to take this, I'll trust you with this, and I want you to take this and go and invest this and do something good with it. And when I come back in a few years, I'm going to get back with you and I'll take this money back from you. That's a huge amount of money. Can you imagine being entrusted with that much money and then just to not do anything at all with it? And to dust it off later and bring it back and say, listen, I was so afraid of you because I know that you're a just man. I was so afraid of you that I couldn't do anything else the last several years except just dig a hole and put it in there. But you've not lost a cent. You've not lost anything here. That's why it was called wicked and unprofitable and lazy. You go back in the Gospel of John. John records the words of Jesus talking about the true vine and the branches. And the process of pruning those branches and looking at those who are providing fruit for the Lord. And he's talking about us as Christians as well, that there's a process, not meaning that we have a quorum or a quantity of new Christians that each one of us are responsible for going out to create, but saying that each of us needs to be productive to help to enhance the image of Christ in our community and to enable people to see him more clearly so that they might have that path of coming to him. Well, let's see what else I've got up here on these screens. What can we learn? Let's be faithful in all that God entrusts to our care. Let's be faithful to that. Remember, if you're faithful in the small things, you'll be granted opportunity to be faithful in larger things. I've had a lot of people ask me for money over the years, and some of it's because of my position as a minister. They always want to get in to talk to the pastor. They always want to get it. You know, they want to tell you their story. They want some money. And we'll walk through some things with some people. And it's amazing that if they thought they had $1 million, they wouldn't have any problems with money at all. But with the amount of money that they have, they can't manage it. Well, how do you think you can manage $1 million if you can't imagine managing the money that you've got right now? Now, I've had some wonderful benevolent deacons and elders to work with over the years who were masters at this, where they could sit down with people and say, let's talk about your budget. Let's talk about your cash flow. Let's talk about the things that are there. And the people said, no. I don't want to let you into any of my business. I don't want you to see where my money goes. I just want you to give more money to me. Well, the answer is almost always no, because they're not being faithful to be trusted with what they have. They're just down on their luck. If they're just behind and they can't get ahead, those things you can work through. Because if you're being found faithful in the small things, you can be entrusted to be faithful with the larger things. I remember one of the days that my grandfather entrusted me with taking the deposit to the bank from his gas station. That was a big day. That was a big day. That's when you're driving down the road and you're thinking, okay, I could just turn right here and just go down this road and spend all this money on my own. But then, you know, I wouldn't be welcome at Christmas the next year either when I came back. I had to be faithful. I had to be good with his money. But when I was trusted to do that, that meant a lot to me. I had been found faithful in the smaller things and now growing into the larger things. What else can we learn? Well, we can learn also that we need to seize every opportunity, not just the big ones that come along. Unfortunately, I've known some people in the church before that they didn't want to do anything that might entail something in the background. They only wanted to do things where other people could see them. Now, I'm not their judge, but sometimes motives and intentions come through in people's words and actions. And I want to tell you something. There may be opportunities in your future where you can be the focus of something that was good and you're given the credit for what was the idea, the genesis of this whole notion. But don't wait for the big things. Look at this. Every opportunity that comes along. If somebody taps you on the shoulder Sunday morning and says, we need somebody else to work on the Lord's table, seize that opportunity and say, I'd be happy to do it. I'd be happy to do it. Why? Because you have the ability to do it. You can help in that sense. And that will be a great blessing. Also, what can we see? Well, we need to see that the master waited a long time before he came back. We're not told exactly how long in the story. But let's be patient with our growth. Sometimes we expect that things are going to happen really quickly, and it doesn't always happen that way. What else can we learn from this? Not losing is not the same thing as doing the will of God. Laziness never won a soul to God. Some people have argued with me on that point before about laziness, and they've tried to back into things to say, see, now look, preacher, I waited all these years before I ever said anything to my neighbor, and the minute I said something to my neighbor, he came and had a Bible study. Well, I don't believe that's exactly the will of God, the way it should be done, but listen, laziness is not going to go and win over our community for Christ. And not losing is not the same as doing the will of God. God has entrusted us wonderful, wonderful blessings. We need to be good stewards of that. We need to do all that we can. Look at this also. Humbly use our abilities in harmony with the others in the body. Romans 12 is another section there talking about the unity of the body that we have together. All right? I want to ask you this evening, what are some of the things that God has placed in your care? What about your children and grandchildren? What about your spouse? What about your spirit? You might think, well, the Lord's not giving me anything. It's not like He came and gave me a big pile of money and went away for a long time. Well, let's back up and let's look at our situations for today. Don't you think that your children are a blessing? They are. They're a blessing from the Lord. My dad, years ago, he was privileged to be asked by the local PTA to give a little talk. He had just moved into this community, small community in Western Kentucky, and he went. And he was quoting there from the psalmist, talking about having a quiver full of arrows and all these things. Anyway, he was supposed to say the fruit of the womb is his reward. What he said was the fruit of the loom is his reward. And so, anyway, that was the way he was introduced for many months after that. Here's the preacher that thinks that the fruit of the loom is his reward. Well, you know, he misstated that. But listen, the children that we have, they're blessings from God. We pray for them before we get them. And after we get them, we cherish them. And we dote on them. And we want them to be successful. And we pray about them growing up to meet a mate somewhere that's growing up at the same time in a Christian home, learning to love God. All those things come together. Are those children not in your care? What has God given to you? God's given us our children. God's given us our spouses. God's given us and our eternal spirits. And so how will we be evaluated by God? Will He say, well done, good and faithful servant? I hope He does. Or will He say, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness? I can honestly say I don't know many people that would fall into that category that still call themselves Christians. I think most all Christians are going to say, look, I want to be on the good side. I want to be the person that knows that God has richly blessed me and that I am doing all I can to meet the expectations that God has placed in me. Because God has faith in you and in me to accomplish His work in this world. He really does. The Bible talks about us having, you know, that this wonderful treasure is in earthen vessels. What do you think that means? It's talking about us having the Word of God so that we individually can take the gospel to other people. And as we live in this world, friends, you and me, we become the ability that God has to reach this sin-sick world and to turn their hearts back to Him. I want us to know that we're not one-talent people. I want us to know that we are the people of the two-talent and the five-talent mentality. We are the people of God that know that whatever it is that God has granted us to have, whatever talent, whatever skill, whatever resource that He has given us and entrusted in our care, all of it belongs to God. And all of it can be used for His glory. May we always be focused on the fact that God can and will use us to accomplish His goals in this life. I want us to be five-talent and two-talent people. I want us to have the attitude of whatever it takes, whatever the Lord expects of me, whatever challenge is laid before me, before I say, no, I'm not going to, I want to have the ability to say, I will try and I will do my best because the Lord has faith in me. What about it tonight? Where do you stand before God? We had one that responded this morning asking for prayers. We've had some recently who have been baptized. They've decided to put on Christ, to confess before others that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. Whatever your needs are tonight, we want you to know that it's the Lord's invitation. Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?